Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by top London radio DJ, certified Japanophile, and Pete Donald McDonaldson. Pete Donald McDonaldson. Oh man, how are you, Pete?
That's a good start. Donald McDonaldson, but in Japan I'm called Ronald McDonaldson. You've had a holiday, Chris. You should be more relaxed than this. You should be blissed out. You've had a few days in Kyushu. I've been away to Naples. I've not had quite a restful time because I just spent my time drinking Negronis and eating pizza. But still, something to do, isn't it, Chris? Something to do.
Naples. What goes on in Naples? When I think Naples, the first thing I think of is pizza.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing,
Football.
Did you eat pizza?
Gangsters. The pizza, I never used to eat pizza, Chris, because it used to, let's say, mess with my constitution somewhat. But as I've grown older, fine again. So I'm back on the pizza truck. I'm back on the McDonald's. I'm back on heavy snack foods. It's nice. It's good. I'm enjoying it.
Good man. Well, I've just got back from Kyushu, as you mentioned. After the recent Taiwan debacle, in which my passport appeared to not work, I was forced to go on holiday somewhere in Japan for a few days. Chose Kyushu, last place in Japan that I have yet to go to, and it was nice. I was expecting the weather to be kind of tropical and nice and warm. It wasn't. It was like raining. It was kind of annoying. But it was a good trip all in all. We went to Fukuoka and Beppu. Fukuoka's kind of like the trendy, cool city that everyone likes to go to. It's kind of hip. It's near Busan,
right,
on the south coast of South Korea.
Yes.
And Beppu is like the onsen town that you go to if you want to sit in an onsen all day. I think it's Japan's number one onsen town. I don't know how they rank it. Everywhere's the number one XYZ in Japan.
Yeah.
But it's quite, you knew you were in business, because as you're walking down the streets, there's kind of steam coming up through the alleyways everywhere, and it's kind of sinister, like a 1970s film shot in New York. But it was really cool. Loved it.
Like
California.
Like an 80s music video or something like that. I remember going to Fukuoka, and I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember going to a bar and buying loads of records. And this bar behind the bar had loads of vinyl for sale of these old kind of kind of 70s female pop artists. So I bought loads of those. And also we went to a bar where a man was like a really great virtuoso guitarist, and I think he might have been about 50, but he looked so young. He just kept on asking patrons, "How old do you think I am? How old do you think I am?" And obviously everyone went, "It's probably 25," and he's going, "51.
Did you do it in that sinister voice?
Yes.
How old do you think I am?
Pull my finger.
Of these little experiences you have dotted around Japan, all these people you meet along the way. I think it's a lot of people that come to Japan, I feel, don't have these exciting and bizarre encounters you seem to have. I think you must provoke them. You must bring out this kind of side in people where they actually want to kind of ask and do weird things. But
I know a girl called Sarah, and she, I don't know what it is about her, but whenever I know a girl called Sarah.
Oh, right.
Bad hearing. Like a boy named Sue, the Johnny Cash song. I know a girl called Sarah, and she, whenever eating, whenever we're drinking, she will attract the craziest people and the wildest personalities towards it. And whenever we sit down for a meal, the waiter is always batshit. Always mad.
Oh, man. What is it about Sarah that attracts these rather crazy individuals?
It's like catnip. It's catnip for mentals. It's crazy. Oh, dear. So, what are we going to do this week, Chris? I mean, we'll talk a little bit about your trip through Japan, obviously. Did you fly to Kyushu? Did you fly to Fukuoka?
I did. I flew from Sendai to Osaka, Osaka to Fukuoka.
Right, okay.
On Peach Airways. The miracle of low-cost air travel.
Yay!
Finally arrived in Japan. Took bloody long enough. But yeah, no, it wasn't. It's quite nice. The good thing about Sendai is, thanks to low-cost airlines, you can pretty much go anywhere these days.
Yeah.
And thanks to airlines, Japan feels a lot smaller as well than it used to. Because it's just one big... I mean, Japan is one big...
Sausage.
Like mountain range, basically.
What a big
one
sausage.
Big mountain range. So it just feels... It's not that big a country, but it feels a lot bigger than it is.
Yeah.
But when you get on a plane, it's kind of like you just teleport from one end to the other in an hour. And it feels a lot less intimidating in size and scale.
Definitely.
But yeah, I thought this week we would dive into another Q&A session. It's been a while since our last one, hasn't it?
Last
one like 2 months ago.
Yeah, it's been
and
a while,
our inbox
hasn't it?
Has kind of piled up, hasn't it? Inbox has piled up with emails from you guys listening in that you've sent throughout the last few weeks. So I thought we'd take the time to sit down and answer them this week.
Yeah, we're literally just pulling these emails, these messages, these dispatches from the front line of Japanese obsessives. We've got them fax machine and we're pulling them off. I'm trying to squeeze in the fact that I want to call this show the fax machine, but it's very much...
The fax machine.
You're a better brander than I'll ever be, Chris.
That's genius. I know, that's genius. Not even I could have dreamt that up.
This is actually the first time I've been in the email box and, whoa, you get a lot of emails, Chris.
I wasn't going to let you in. No, I thought, you know, Pete can't be trusted. He might get...
I'll start
especially
flirting.
As the previous episode, I asked you guys to give me your feedback on Pete's incredible accent from the North UK.
And what did you get, Chris?
Unfortunately,
people were very
there were
kind,
no
weren't they? Yeah, people were very kind, weren't they, Chris?
Yeah,
exactly. Because you're a bully. You're a nasty bully, and I'm awesome. One of the other things I quite liked is that three or four people did go, Chris, you realise your second name is Broad, and your channel is Abroad in Japan. You realised the pun? And I'm going... I mean, I realised it late, but I think you might... I mean, I'm fairly certain Chris is across it, to be honest.
I can't believe people still don't realise that my name is... the whole channel name is just a very clever pun. But then again, I realised not too long ago that for the first 3 years, I don't think I actually mentioned my name was Chris Broad.
Oh, right.
So it's kind of an in-joke to friends and family and people that knew who I was. And, but then I kind of let everyone know my name, and yet people still don't know, so... Yes, I get like a dozen messages every week from people saying, oh my God, your name's a pun and the channel's a pun.
I'm trying to think of the channel that could be called if your name was just Chris and there was no Broad. A ludicrous travel across Japan.
Chris in Japan.
Chris in Japan.
Konnichiwa with Chris. All right, Chris in Japan. It's not very original, is it?
Is there a Japanese word with is at the end? Ohayo gozaim, Chris. I'm enjoying myself, Chris. No. I'm not. I don't know about you, mate. I'm having a lovely time.
Oh dear. Oh dear. Time to dive into the questions.
Yes,
let's
I think so.
This horrific rebranding of the channel. right. First question. Hi, Chris and Pete. So I'm wondering if you have any tips for getting to know Japanese people. I'm going to Japan next year as an exchange student. One of my concerns is about getting in touch with the locals, I guess, because I have this image that Japanese students are very Japanese, like they kind of shy away from the foreigners, especially us who don't look Asian at all. So I just want to know how to really put myself out there, make some Japanese friends at a uni and learn the language the fastest. Best regards, Susanna. Is there a place to meet Japanese people?
I like...
And break out the expat ghetto.
Yeah. I mean, what I like about the messages is she's basically saying, why are Japanese such scaredy cats? I'm not scary. I'm Susanna.
Well, I at my university back in the UK, I went to the University of Kent. They've got this, they had like a Japanese dorm. I didn't know about it. There was like 200 Japanese students at my university, but they kept them sealed away in this like special dorm where they could only come out until like 10 p.m, I think.
Oh.
And then they had to go back home. So... I don't know, it does seem to be this culture where Japanese exchange students are hidden away a little bit. My good friend Ryotaro, who's often in the videos, he lived and went and studied in Seattle and London, and he made an effort just to, like, not befriend any Japanese people while he was there. So he could actually nail English, which he more or less pulled off, I think.
I think he's incredible, that guy. So
he is quite good.
Confident, quite handsome. Is he quite tall? Is he quite tall, Chris?
No, he's not. That sounds like an insult. No,
well, no, but you know
he's a little bit shorter than I am.
Right, okay. You sort of see someone who's quite confident and quite kind of good looking and tanned, and you sort of go, you always sort of see them as being taller than they actually are.
Yes. Well, when I met you, I thought you were going to be 7 foot.
I know, right?
And you were. but Ryotaro, I think he's 5'8"-ish. I'm about 5'9", so I'm a little bit taller. But, yeah, he's just confident because he lived in every country in the world. Like, times two. He's lived in America, the UK, Germany, Australia, Spain for a bit. Like, he's gone everywhere.
Incredibly outgoing.
Back to the question, before it becomes like a big Ryotaron fan club discussion.
Can we start a side podcast?
Of fans. People love the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know, really. I guess if you come in Japan, go to international centres. That's where I met a lot of my Japanese friends. International centres in every town, where they like wheel out foreigners to take part in activities and run ekaiwas and language schools and things. I don't know. It depends how old you are as well, Susanna. We don't know how old you are, because that would change the game a bit. Because the best way to meet people is, of course, just go to a bar.
I noticed that I think my mate was doing like a dating app out there. Probably the big one, Tinder. I'm fairly certain out there they've got that thing where you can have a group. So if you've got like a group of friends who aren't Japanese, and you can sort of go out in a big group, and it's not quite as intense as a date, but there's like a group of two groups of people, a group of Japanese people and a group of British people or English people, sort of thing. We never did it, but it sounds.
Are you talking
like
about
a
like
idea.
They have like a kind of. A thing in Japan. I can't remember what it's called. God damn it, what's it called? Enkai is like a party, but it's a party where you have like two, like you have men and women come in different groups, and then they kind of gradually, slowly connect. It's a bit like a school disco,
right?
From when you're a teenager. Imagine that, but with adults in a pub or in a bar, and they kind of get to know each other that way. But if you can drink, just go out to a bar. Go to bars. If you're not old enough, go to international centres, or just walk down the street and hope someone talks to you, like happened with Natsuki. I mean, he just saw me in the street, Or get Pete's friend to come along with you. Get Sarah to come along.
Yeah, exactly.
And all sorts of hijinks will take place.
You get all kinds of strange people approaching you. Yeah, good luck, my love. Enjoy yourself is the main thing. Just do things with a smile on your face, Chris, and, you know, good things happen to you. That's what I would say, Chris. Kendall Dayton. Hello, Kendall Dayton. Hello, Chris and Pete. I hope you guys are having a great day and night whenever you record this. Well, it doesn't matter, I suppose. It doesn't matter when you guys are listening to it. I have a slightly personal, maybe embarrassing question for you. It pertains to me, not you guys, so breathe easy. I'm a graduate student studying in costume construction and design. I'm going to be putting together a trip to Japan in 2019 to see some of the textile works and historic practices they use. That's background info, not really useful. I think it is useful. It's important. Exposition, very important, Kendall. So here's the meat of things. I am a large woman. I am tall and fat, fatter than you, Chris. You say you are, and I laugh. I am about 6 foot, and I'll just say I'm an American size 3 is what works. So I basically know that Japan is kind of small. Do you think I will fit, Chris? Do you think my size will be an issue going into places? I don't really know how to better phrase my question than that. I am quite conscious of my size, and I don't want to cause anyone issues, but I might be too big to fit into places. It's something that I'm aware of and quite nervous about. And thank you in advance for the information that you can provide. Thank you for your videos and podcasts and stuff like that. Have a great day.
Do you think I will fit?
Yeah.
No. It will not physically fit into Japan.
It's like one of those rides where you go, you have to be this tall to go on the ride. You have to sort of, you know, you have to walk through a particular doorway. You go, wait, can't go in. Do larger people have an issue getting around? I'm fairly certain there's literally no problems at all. Japan's kind of fitted for comfort, certainly with the longer trains and stuff. Rush hour, nobody of any size is enjoying that. I can't see any obstacles, can you?
Only place that springs to mind is capsule hotels, actually.
Right.
Like, numerous of the times that I've gone to a capsule hotel, my feet have, like, dangled out the edge of, like, a capsule, which isn't a fun situation to be in. So that's the only time the height might be an issue. You will stand out, inevitably, given that you're 6 foot and a girl, because that's pretty very rare in Japan. I think the average... I'm going to say I think the average height. I've looked it up. The average height of US females is 161 centimetres. Average height of Japanese females is 158 centimetres. So a little bit taller.
Yeah.
I thought I'd slip that fact in there to look clever.
Thank you very much, Chris.
But then I just looked it up, so I'm not clever. But, yeah, no, you will stand out a little bit, but that doesn't mean anything bad will come of it. Like, you're not going to get discriminated against for being tall. But yeah, no, I don't think it'd be an issue. Don't worry about it.
No, my I went out with a 19-stone man, and he he didn't find he didn't have any problems at all, except the times where he's just incredibly clumsy. I think he might have dyspraxia. He kept falling over things, and that's nothing to do with his size. He's just an incredibly clumsy man. So he found it very easy to get around. No discrimination, but he did fall over stuff a lot. But that's he does that everywhere. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've touched on this before in a video. If you are overweight in Japan, you can get called out on it by friends, like friends and colleagues and co-workers and whatnot. As just a general tourist, nothing will happen.
No, all good.
As a because weight's like a big thing in Japan. They're like really, they take it really seriously if you put on weight. Just because it's so rare to see a Japanese person who's overweight. I remember going back to the UK after being in Japan for 2 years. And just being in shock, not only at the multicultural diversity, but just at the size of people as well. Just because it's so rare to see someone in Japan who is overweight. And as I put on weight, people started to prod me a lot. And it was quite a weird situation to be in, to have people around you call you fat and prod you. Don't know what that did to me mentally, I dread to think. But as a tourist, that won't happen. So don't worry. As a tall person, Kendall, I don't think you'll be prodded either.
No.
But again, that would be quite an interesting experience, wouldn't it?
Oh, I'd love to be tall.
Japan got prodded for being tall.
I got prodded to bits.
Like, I mean, you've seen Lost in Translation with Bill Murray and when he's in the shower. Do you remember the shower scene? He goes in the shower and the shower's too short for him.
Oh, right, okay. Is Bill Murray particularly tall?
He must be, I think he's like 6'1" or 6'2".
Oh, is he? Right, okay.
He's a tall lad.
Yeah, he's a tall lad. He's a big unit.
Yeah, I mean, they made a joke of the shower being too short in that, but again, I don't think that's really an issue.
No.
I've never found that.
I mean,
I think they made that up.
I mean,
I've tested that theory several times to see if it was like a joke or actually real, and I don't think you'll have problems with showers either.
No.
Being too short.
And that is one of the things that surprised me about going to Japan. And I think we've spoke about this before. The lads are exactly the same size as me. I'm like, if not taller. I thought, I'm going to be a tall man out there. And you get there and you're like, everyone is still taller than me. Oh, this sucks.
You wanted to be a king.
I wanted to be a king, Chris.
The moment you arrived at Narita Airport, it all came crashing down.
I know.
Next question is from Ash. He says, my son seems to love your podcast.
Oh.
He's 2 years old and just came out with the wow as we were driving back to Blackpool. We thought it was hilarious. I'm guessing that's the wow at the start with Natsuki, right?
It's
like doo-doo-doo bang, wow.
Yeah, it's this.
Wow.
Wow.
That's the one.
That's the wow that we need.
Kids love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm glad that noise of Natsuki going wow has inspired your two-year-old son.
Well, he's attached to a video, Ash. Ash could be a girl's name, couldn't it? I'm not really sure about Ash, to be honest.
Could, but then Ashley, it does say Ash, Sarah, Demi and baby Brandon.
Oh, well, could be. You know, they could be in a gay relationship, Chris. 2019, mate. No, it isn't. It's 2018. Shit! right. Do you want to hear the wow noise from the little Ben? I think you can hear it.
I do. Yeah. Right.
Oh, lovely.
Wow.
Wow. Isn't that beautiful?
Lovely stuff.
We are influencing youths.
Yeah, lovely. I'm glad. I'm glad the opening of Natsuki's inspired kids everywhere. and Ash then says, "Please, will you make a video about Japanese martial arts? Will the exercise help you with your weight loss?" Japanese martial arts.
Are you big on the old martial arts? Is that something you're into, Chris? Have you ever been into that?
I did at university. I did Taekwondo, which is the the Korean martial art. But I wasn't particularly good at it, and that was just to get fit. I did have a slight obsession with the Karate Kid before I came here. The 80s one, not the dreadful one that came thereafter. But I did kind of think if I meet like a Mr. Miyagi kind of figure. than I can be the next Karate Kid. It was the idea of meeting Mr. Miyagi or someone who's like Mr. Miyagi in Japan, and I could have like this cool life, this narrative arc.
Hanging out.
I went from being like this overweight, lazy British guy who gets bullied by viewers for being overweight to being cool and intimidating and slim and awesome. But then I didn't meet anyone, so that didn't happen.
Never mind.
So no, probably won't do any Japanese martial arts. If I did, I think I'd do karate. Have you had any experience in the world of martial arts?
I did one karate lesson when I was about 8, and a boy kicked me in the head.
Lesson.
A guy kicked me in the head. A kid kicked me in the head. He shouldn't be kicking me in the head on the first lesson, and I didn't go back because I got into a bit of a fight. I always remember. Have you seen that there's a remake? Not a remake, like a redux of Karate Kid. Basically, the two main players from Karate Kid 2 or whatever, they're back in some kind of Netflix redux where they're all older and stuff, and they've forgotten how to act, and oh my dear.
What, the actual original Karate Kid dude, whose name I can't remember?
Jimmy.
But Mr.
Jimmy
Miyagi
Knuckles.
Is dead, right?
Yes.
The Mr. Miyagi. Oh. See, he was the main reason.
He was the kingpin, he was the linchpin, wasn't he? Whenever I think of, you know, when you give chocolate to somebody or you give like a gift, you know those things they sell at the Shinkansen,
yeah,
or Miyagi. Right. I always think of Mr. Miyagi it's a good way to remember it. Good way to remember it.
It is souvenirs equals Miyagi. Miyagi.
Shall we take a short ad break and we'll be back with some more emailery?
Yes.
Let's do that. Here's the ad break. Enjoy the ad break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
RQ Customer.
Don't say.
Wow.
I'm so glad you got that clip of Natsuki saying, "I'll kill customer."
It made me laugh.
I was worried
so much, Chris. It's just
I was worried when you released that, because I thought, "Oh, what if the like restaurant sees it and they get worried and there's like they call the police in for this terrible threat issued by a guy in a mask in the back of a taxi?"
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he was wearing that mask and waving around a plastic sword in the actual place itself. So, what are you going to do? It's so
strange.
I know,
right? You can't stop that ski tearing up the world around.
Customer. It's such menace in his voice.
It's the delivery, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Thomas. Thomas has sent us an email. Thank you very much, Thomas. Hi, Chris and Pete. Here's a question for Chris. Have you ever been invited to a Japanese wedding? If yes, what is it like? And do most wedding guests end up terribly drunk in the end, like in most European countries? Smiley face. Greetings from Slovakia.
Most European countries. Yeah. I haven't actually. I haven't. I know, but I know, it's a weird thing. I know a lot of foreign people here who become priests at weddings.
Whoa!
Because in Japan, they have this very romantic idea of a foreign wedding. So they get a foreigner person in to like speak a bit of English and Japanese and conduct the ceremony.
Right.
And do it like that. And people get like $200. They just sort of turn up, get $200, do this and. Yeah, I read an article about someone who'd conducted over 400 Western-style weddings in Japan while they were, like, working as an English teacher, like, on the side. That's the only thing I know about Japanese weddings.
Chris,
if you're Western living in Japan, you can become a magical fake priest.
Right, I've got a couple of weeks planned later this year. If any Japanese people are going to get married, I am bang up for doing the ceremony. I won't do any swearing, I won't get drunk... And I'll wear my second best suit. All right? There's a promise.
Why not your first best suit?
Because that is for dancing and impressing people.
Well, you might get drunk and dance at the wedding.
Good point. Oh, tie around the head, salary man. Lovely old job. I mean, to be fair, tie around the head of the salary man, all drunk and that, is kind of the tie around the head drunk dad at the wedding. Dads love putting their ties around their heads at weddings. It's brilliant.
They do. And that would go down very well.
I think so. one of the things, if you ever go to Yoyogi Park, what's that? Is it Meiji Shrine next to Yoyogi Park? Meiji Shrine in Tokyo. They're always having wedding processions there. I guess you get to walk through a place that's, you know, incredibly atmospheric, but just tourists are just taking pictures of you all the time. And the brides. The bridal gown, the bridal sort of outfits for Japanese weddings, if you've never sort of checked it out, it's just fascinating. They wear these sort of like big kind of Phantom Menace kind of egg kind of things on the heads. It's very ornate. It's a beautiful kind of space age a dress that they wear. It really is very, very interesting indeed. Don't you think, Chris?
What egg thing? I don't know anything about this.
It's like a tall...
How have I missed this?
...hat. It's like a posh... It's like if I don't know, Giorgio Armani decided to design the Pope's hat.
A hat
that's what it
egg.
Was like. Yeah, it looks like a big egg. I'm trying to explain it. I'm sure, look, next week, I'll give it a Google. I'll find out what it's called. It's a big egg.
Either your description's just awful, or this is a great hat that I've yet to see.
Big egg hat!
I'll have to look this up afterwards.
Yeah.
I have to Google this.
You may now kiss the egg.
Yeah, I haven't seen that many weddings in Japan in general out and about. They do have them at shrines and temples a lot. Mm. I always see bride and grooms like in the back of a horse and carriage.
Oh, that's nice.
Like a big thing.
Right.
Yeah. But I feel like I want to see this egg hat now. this has changed the game.
I know.
God. All right. Hello and greetings from Norway.
Hello.
Says Lars. Love the podcast. I listen to the podcast every Thursday when I take the bus to school. I love the intro and outro song, and I wondered if you could tell us the name of the song. Love the YouTube channel. Dreaming of becoming a teacher in Japan when I grow up. Thanks for the podcast. Wish you the best of luck. Lars.
Hello, Lars.
What is the name of the song? And thank you, Lars.
Well,
I hope school is fun.
Chris, I mean,
what is the name of the song? I can't remember.
You found it. I don't know what it is. It was on a website. We paid for it. It's fine. Everything's fine. I don't know, to be honest, Chris.
I think we got it off. Back in the day, 2 months ago, I said we need an upbeat song, and I spent like 2 or 3 hours on premiumbeat.com, which is a really good music resource.
Mm.
And, I think I sent, like, 5 to you, Pete, and then you went, that one! And
that
that's
one.
How it happened.
Yeah.
So, I don't actually know what it's called, though. I can't remember. You're the editing guy. Have you not got the song
just,
right there?
It's library music. It's all paid for. It's top secret.
Sorry, Lars.
But what I would say about it is that if you ever visit Pond5 or premiumbeat.com, Your next month on YouTube will be just pre-roll adverts about Premium Beat or Pond 5. I have no idea how they do it, but if you visit that website once, you are forever thrown adverts for library music, and I don't know why it happens, but it does.
The internet is a scary place.
It is!
I get adverts. It's really weird. My merchandise that I put out, T-shirts and whatnot, mugs, I've got it on this site called redbubble.com, right? Which is one of these... It's quite a good site, by all accounts.
Yeah.
But they have these adverts everywhere with my merchandise on my, like, Google, on Facebook, or wherever. They pop up everywhere. I don't know how it happens. I don't even pay to promote the merchandise through Redbubble. I think Redbubble must do it themselves.
Yeah.
But, like, I've got adverts coming up everywhere for my own bloody merchandise. It's really annoying.
It's because you've been on that website as well. It's really upsetting. And the most annoying thing is that when you go on Amazon, you buy something. Say I buy, I don't know, a lawnmower. For the next month, you're offered lawnmowers. I've just bought it. You should know that, Amazon. Sell me something else, for crying out loud.
I love the way that was the first thing that came to your head, and you don't even have a garden.
No.
A lawnmower.
I will lawn anyone's garden. I'm sorry, I will mow anyone's garden. I don't care. Oh, take that to the bank, Chris. Hello to... It's off the page. Kenny Kimball. I think that might be the best named person who's ever emailed the show. Kenny Kimball. Kimball. Isn't that good?
Reminds me of Kindergarten Cop.
Yes.
With Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Was that Richard Kimball? No, that was...
It's... Kimball something.
Who was Richard Kimball? He was in The Fugitive. Got there in the end.
Yes.
Chris! Yes. Not Pete, just Chris! My best friend and I are planning our first ever trip to Japan for this September, and one of the many things we plan on doing is going to the sumo tournament. Have you ever been to a sumo match, Chris? If so, any tips on etiquette or do's and don'ts? Thanks!
Right, so I've never been to sumo, and I've never actually had much of an interest in it, to be honest.
No.
It's not my thing. If I had the time and it was going on, maybe I'd see it, but I'm not going to go out of my way to ever watch it. It was in the news recently, I don't know if you heard, but one of the someone on stage, I think there was a sumo tournament somewhere in Japan, and the mayor of the town where it was taking place went on stage and had like a heart attack or something. They collapsed. And a female, a woman nearby who knew medical training, ran onto the stage, onto the platform where it takes place, the wrestling match box thing, and tried to do some CPR. And they were told to leave and get off by the referee because women aren't allowed on the sumo kind of platform.
Yeah,
They believe it's sacred and women aren't allowed on there. And it caused this big uproar, caused this kind of terrible situation where it was, well, it caused an outcry, as you'd expect, but... Yeah, it's pretty hardcore. So I was a bit disappointed with that.
I
vowed never to go to sumo ever again.
Apparently they purified it with throwing chuck and salt all over the place, which seems to be the thing that they do in sumo. But it will have just been one errant, idiotic announcer who sort of said, get off the sumo platform.
Well, it's actually happened a few times.
Right.
It is like this sacred religious place.
It's not a thing, but we have golf clubs you still can't go in as a woman or, a person. Is not white, this is sort of level of arrogance. Look after your own house, I'd say. The West. Yeah. Look after your own house.
Are you ever going to get a sumo? Is it on your hit list?
No plans, to be honest, but I have been doing another podcast about wrestling, and there's this guy called John Tenta, and he was this, when he was in the WWF back in the day, WWE nowadays, he was looked like the world's oldest, fattest man, but he was only 26 when he was wrestling in WrestleMania 7, I think it was. I think his stage name was like Earthquake or something. And he's just a big fat guy. Just a big fat guy. And he wrestled out in sumo wrestled out in Japan, and he was actually quite good at it. And they insisted he had a big tattoo on his arm, and to progress in his career in sumo, that he will have had to gotten a skin graft, unfortunately. But he was unwilling to do so. So he joined the WWF and made considerably more money. And then he died of bone cancer. Or maybe bladder cancer. One of the two. But either way, very fat, old-looking man, but he was only 26. Fascinating. I mean, to be able to pack that amount of food in every day is something else. It really is. They say that... is it linebackers? They're the big guys in American football. You literally can't put enough calories in your body. Like, they take in, like, 10,000 calories a day, and, like, you literally can't put that amount. You'd just be eating all the time. It's just logistically impossible. So they have to take supplements and stuff like that, which is just crazy.
10,000 calories.
That's a lot, isn't it?
I'd like to stick a I'd like to stick a Monster Gyoza in front of one of them and see if they can handle
two
that.
2 minutes. 2 minutes it would take. speaking of eating, shall we get on to Richard's? Hi, Pete and Chris. Really enjoying the show. An extra dose of Japan each week is always welcome. Darn straight, Richard. Darn straight. A few weeks ago, you guys discussed restaurants and cafes on different floors in otherwise random buildings. Are we talking about this? The density of eateries and the density of bars and stuff in one particular building complex is actually quite overwhelming, I think. I find it very difficult. Anyway, but it's something I've struggled with whenever I visit Japan, and usually I avoid them, but I'm always worried I'm missing some great places to eat. So my question is, what would you recommend as a way of finding out what the place might serve if you don't speak the language? And equally, is there any way of telling how welcoming it might be to clueless tourists from the outside and things to look out for? I guess like English menus and stuff like that.
Right. I made a video recently about travelling Japan without Japanese. And the area that I think foreigners would have the most difficulty with is dining out, eating out, especially those buildings. I mean, even now, I get a bit intimidated when I see a building with like 500 restaurants in it, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know which one's good. And often, if you get in the lift or the elevator to go up, it opens straight into the restaurant. You don't have time to look at the menu or anything. You're just straight in there. The staff drag you in, and off you go. But yeah, I mean, first of all, look out for any English. That's the first giveaway in any way, shape, or form. Is there English? Is there an English sign, or is there anything? You'll never be turned away for being foreign. Like, what was it Richard said? He's worried that they might not be friendly, or if it's a friendly place. You'll never be turned away for being foreign. You often hear this in places online, that they've got these no-go foreigner bars where foreigners can't go. But actually, the only places these are like little gentlemen's clubs for local areas, or often little shops that are kind of run by someone who is too afraid to speak English or doesn't know English, and they don't want to let down their service and be kind of embarrassed, so they kind of put that on the door. But yeah, that will never be an issue.
Yeah,
I've never walked into somewhere and been turned away or had any bad thing happen. Use Google Maps. Just use Google Maps.
Yeah,
that's another thing I tend to do. Like, I was walking down the street the other day, I saw a good tonkatsu restaurant, or it looked like a nice place, and I went on Google, looked at the reviews, saw it was good, went in, job done. So yeah, Google Maps, and look out for any English.
That's TripAdvisor,
the only advice I can have. And be daring.
Like, be daring. Pink. Be ballsy. Walk in and go, feed me. Tab him on up, please.
I'm going to put that to the test the next time you're over. I'm going to let you handle it. You'll be the first one to go through the door. Is what you're going to say.
We'll be eating convenience
and
food.
And I'll film it. The next question is incredibly long. It looks like a story.
Good
at talking.
Shall I bash it out in my speedy northern brogue? Because I've had two coffees. Yes. And to be quite frank, I'm off my head. Hi, Chris and Pete. This email comes from Blake Gibson. Another great name. Another fantastic name.
Blake Gibson.
It's good, isn't it?
A secret agent from the 1950s. Blake Gibson.
Blake Gibson.
Love it.
D.I. I wanted to relate my story of appearing on Japanese daytime TV and my near miss with awkward greatness. I'd been interested in Japan and its culture for over 25 years, ever since a Nintendo and anime introduced it to me in the late 80s. Going to Japan has always been a bucket list item for me, but it wasn't until March 27 at age 35 that I was finally able to do so with my wife. It's kind of like my story in many ways. The awesome experiences we had visiting various cities and taking in the culture was accidentally making a fool of myself on Japanese television. One of my wife's must-dos was visiting an animal cafe, as they don't exist where we live. So off we went to the Rabbit and Get Fat Bunny Cafe near Harajuku, which sounds wonderful,
Chris. What's it actually called?
Rabbit and
Get Fat.
Yeah, lovely. Right. Presumably the Get Fat thing is the food you're going to be eating at the animal cafe. I don't know.
Gotta
be chewy.
Eating food at an animal cafe always seems like a contradiction, something you shouldn't do.
Really. Yeah, I've only ever had
I don't know what they were serving. Hopefully it's not rabbits.
Kibble.
Yeah.
I remember going to a cat cafe and it just stank. I was having a drink of coffee and I was just like, oh, just everything just smells of cats. I don't know what a dog cafe might be like.
Yeah, I went to a cat cafe once and there was like a seafood pasta.
Oh.
And I brought it out. My friend ordered it. I don't know why. Brought it out. And there was just like cat hair floating in the air all over the pasta. It was horrible. I don't know what they were thinking.
It's disgusting. And the one
thing... If you go to Animal Cafe, don't get food.
No. And the one thing that cats love is fish. So not a great idea. So they went to this Rabbit and Get Fat Bunny Cafe near Harajuku. When we arrived, says Blake, we were told to come back in half an hour as a TV crew was setting up. After we came back, ooh, one of the three hosts of the TV show pulled me aside and asked if we wouldn't mind appearing in a small segment for their noon news show. Since, in the last 24 hours, we'd visited an atomic bomb site, been on the Shinkansen, eaten Sakuraniku, which I think is horse meat, I believe, Chris?
Correct.
Cool.
Yeah, good. Nice.
And attended an insane robot dinner theatre show. It seemed like fate. This will cap off the greatest 24 hours of my life, I thought. But it didn't go as planned. There were three hosts, two men and one very cute perky girl who couldn't speak a word of English. We were asked to sit to the side of the camera and wait for our cue to interact with the host. As soon as the camera was turned on, one of the male hosts' eyes went wide. His eyebrows raised so high they vanished into his hairline, and he started shouting unintelligible Japanese into the camera while gesticulating wildly. As the camera alternated between the two male hosts screaming at the audience and each other, I noticed the girl host lie down on the ground off camera. The cafe's staff then placed what must have been 15 rabbits on her body and face. The camera then cuts to the girl, covered in bunny rabbits, screaming as if been murdered. All the while, both male hosts are bent over shouting more Japanese and shouting and laughing and pointing at her. This hilarious scene of three insane people shouting and pointing at rabbits continued for about a minute when the camera cut to one of the male hosts still shouting at the audience, and I hear two words I understand. Canada and Gaijin. He then pointed at me, the eyes still the size of dinner plates, and exclaimed in extremely broken English and with the kind of volume reserved for Metallica concerts, "Hi, do you love rabbits?" The camera suddenly snapped to me in what has to be the fastest camera pan of all time, bamboozled by what was happening in front of me. As the girl host was still on the floor screaming and covered in rabbits, I looked at the camera and my mind goes blank. Every single word of Japanese suddenly left my brain. I paused, stared blankly into the camera for about 3 seconds and awkwardly stammered out in English, we like rabbits. I mean, we're at a rabbit cafe, right? The camera snaps back to the male host who continues his crazy eyes shouting routine for another minute or so. 5 seconds after the cameras are turned off, all the Japanese I knew came rushing back into my head, and in the throes of jet lag and giddy excitement, I loudly exclaimed, "Oishi!" Delicious! I meant to say sugoi, which is a surprise noise, I guess, isn't it?
It was, like, incredible.
Yeah, incredible.
Yeah.
The entire TV crew and staff slowly turned to look at me, horrified that I would think a sweet, innocent, cute, fluffy bunny rabbit could be delicious. I can only imagine what was going through their minds at that moment. After saying Samima Sen about a million times and bowing apologetically to everyone, I got out of the cafe as fast as I could. Oh my word. That's just fantastic. So
Blake, you painted a very nice picture of the madness of being on Japanese TV.
Isn't that wonderful that you know, he exclaimed in front of a cafe full of rabbit lovers, "I eat rabbits.
Delicious
They are quite nice, to be fair. I've not had rabbit in years. So yeah,
well done to Blake for getting through that nightmare.
I don't know
how I would have reacted. Probably the same way.
No. So we will probably do one of these again at some point, because it's nice to sort of pile through all the emails. So much variety. There's so many interesting people out there, yes. Chris.
That's only half the questions on the list. We'll have to put them in another one.
Damn straight, guys.
Thanks for sending them all in. Thanks to Blake for the epic experience of being on Japanese TV. You've captured it perfectly. Japanese TV crews can be a little bit awkward if you don't speak Japanese that well.
Massively.
But you handle that well as you could, probably.
If you want to get in touch with the show, what's the email address, Chris?
AbroadJapan... I forgot it then. Oh, God.
On the spot.
Every week we have this argument about the email address. AbroadJapanPodcast@gmail.com.
AbroadInJapanPodcast@gmail.com. Beautiful!
And now, it's time for Speedy Japanese Vocabulary Lesson.
Wow, let's do this.
I thought we'd do three words this week, keep it simple.
Okay.
All nouns, all things relating to questions and discussions and stuff we've had in here.
Yep.
We've had a lot of questions this week, but what is the word for question in Japanese?
Oh, I only know that you can turn things into a question by using ka. So no is the answer.
Where you go, yeah. Yes, the word is shitsumon.
Shitsumon. I've heard that before in like a video game or something, or maybe a cartoon. Yeah. Shitsumon.
Shitsumon.
Ah.
Trying to say shit. It's more like
shit.
It's difficult. I remember when I first saw that, I was like, huh, shit. But, you know, really, shitsumon.
Yeah.
You almost don't enunciate the S and the H. But, yeah, shitsumon. Next word, I think you probably know this one, is friend.
Friend. Friend. Ah, tomodachi.
Good, tomodachi.
Yay. Yeah.
I find everyone seems, it's one of the few words everyone seems to know in some way. I don't know why that is. I don't know why everyone learns the word.
I know it from the Nintendo game Tomodachi Life, even though I never played it.
That'll probably be it then.
There we
and
go.
We had a question about weddings, but what is the word for wedding?
Oh, you told me this and I've forgotten it.
I think we did.
Oh, what is it? This is like kind of revision. I should know this. No, it's gone. It's completely gone, Chris. I'm so sorry.
So marriage is kekkon.
Kekkon!
Kekkon.
Oh, because I was...
A wedding, the actual wedding ceremony is kekkonshiki.
Kekkonshiki?
Kekkonshiki. Yeah, just whack on shiki at the end. It kind of means like, shiki means ceremony. Put it on the end and it's kekkonshiki.
When you say shiki, do you mean S-U-K-I or...
S-H-I-K-I.
Oh, shiki. Shiki. Ah, well, that was good. I'm furious that I didn't remember kekkon because I made a big deal about saying it's like kek. Like the laughter thing that people do online, kek. So yeah, never mind. I'll get there, Chris. As I always say at the end of the vocabulary. So we piled through your emails. We've still got room for more, so do get in touch. But we will be back next week with more fun and games and more Abroad in Japan podcast. Isn't that right, Chris?
It is. Yes. Send in your questions, guys. Thanks for listening. No matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have a great week, and we'll see you. And we won't see us next Wednesday, but yeah,
we'll see you.
Another slick, awkward
exit
departure.
Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook?
And my dad would think, I don't know, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.